Welcome back. This is Ismail Akhirin, and our next section deals with an open letter to the president to please unban smoking, and it's an open letter by Joni Fredericks.
President Cyril Ramaphosa, good morning. It's me again, Joni Fredericks from Tafelsig in Mitchells Plain. And it seems like we still have a lot to say to each other. President Ramaphosa, this morning, I am reaching out to let you know that I am deeply, deeply disappointed in you. Because I believe that you were sincere when you promised that you will give us food in the community so far. We, myself and other community leaders and groupings around the country, we are still doing what we can to make sure that our communities eat. This is very, very disappointing because right from the beginning, I believed that you were sincere when you said you will take care of us. But further to that, President, I understand that you, as the leader of this country, you've got a lot of stuff to deal with. But right now, you know, it looks like you are making one big mistake after the other one. Right now, I'm sitting here with Nadima Jones. Good morning, Nadima.
Good morning, Jones.
And listen to this, President. It's easy for you to make your decisions up there. But I'm here on the ground and I'm going to have to listen to these types of situations. You need to listen to this. Good morning, Nadima.
Good morning, Jones.
What? You came to me and you came to me with a complaint. What is it?
No, I am a smoker. It's very hard. I'm 64. I'm a smoker all these many, many years now. I'm smoking. And it's very hard to give up. And it's hard to find a cigarette. The people charge you 20 rand a cigarette.
20 rand a loose cigarette?
A loose cigarette, 20 rand, which is not fair to us. We don't have food. Where must we get money to buy 20 rand? For a cigarette.
But Nadima, obviously a lot of people will say to you, stay without a smoke.
It's very hard. It's good to say stay without it, but how?
So you're telling me that you bought a cigarette for 20 rand today?
20 rand this morning.
But couldn't you have used that 20 rand for bread?
You know, I've got 12 children in my house, and yes. It's so stressful. That you know, a cigarette calms you.
Okay. And don't you think that this period is actually a good period to just stop smoking?
I've been trying, you know, I am gradually getting there, but there is times when I do need one.
So do you have something to say to the President in terms of dealing better with the situation?
Mr. President, can you give us a reason why you banned the cigarettes? Why? I mean, alcohol is understandable. But the cigarette, what does it do to people? It calms you. It calms you. It doesn't do anything wrong, but it calms you.
Well, obviously, Nadima, they are obviously the health benefits, but we are aware of this.
We are aware of
all. I am just, as a community leader, I'm just questioning the reasoning for stopping the selling of tobacco and cigarettes now. In a time when people are already struggling with so many things, Mr. President. And you know what? Come as it may. This is now 6 weeks and counting into COVID-19. We have experienced level 5 lockdown. We are now in level 4 lockdown. But you know, Mr. President, in the communities, people are getting rich. And you know what? The black market is blooming. And I need to let you know, in case you didn't know, Mr. President, your political allies, they are the people that make the monies, because those people, some of your political leaders, they have shares in these black market companies that they benefit hugely and they profit hugely from the cigarettes that people like Nadima Jones, a grandmother of 64 years old, are forced to buy because she does not have the resources to stop smoking. And I mean, if you know anything, please speak to the experts on this issue, Mr. President. If you knew anything about withdrawal, you would have at least considered that it is very, very hard for a smoker to just stop smoking, especially in these tough times of wondering where is the next food going to come from. Today, Mr. President, I'm talking again to you, and I believe that as the leader that you say you are, that you will at least consider lifting the ban on cigarettes, because the truth of the matter, when I smoke, I harm myself. And there are rules and regulations. license. I'm aware of the health benefits too, and the health harm that I do to myself. There are things that I need to do in terms of making sure that I don't make other people sick. But in the bigger scheme of things, in terms of where we at now with the COVID-19 situation and the hunger crisis, the smoking of the battle, really in terms of health issue, I think it really takes the lower step. I don't know who told you that people who are smoking are more susceptible to attracting the coronavirus, because almost every second person in the community smoke, Mr. President. I think the banning of cigarettes is being used to make a few people richer than they are today. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you very much for always giving me a hearing. And thank you, Nadima.
Thank you, Joni. Thank you, Mr. President. I hope you understand the situation here on the ground. Please, sir. I'm asking you, please, sir, think and think clearly what you're doing to the smoker.
Mr. President, on behalf of Nadima, John's 64-year-old grandmother and so many other grandmothers who are forced to spend 20 rand, 30 rand, 40 rand for one cigarette, please reconsider the stance on tobacco and smoking.
Welcome back. This is Ismail Akhrin. You're on Cape Talk. This is your Cape Talk, and I want you to get involved in the conversation. My name is Ismail Akhrin, and our number is 021-446-0567. Our WhatsApp is 072-567-1567. We just heard a clip, an audio of Ms. Joanie Fredericks from the Community Action Network asking the president to lift the ban on smoking. We have Ms. Fredericks on the line now. Good evening, Joanie.
Good evening, and thank you for having me.
You're most welcome. I've listened to you made quite an impassioned plea there for the president to lift the ban.
Yes, listen, first and foremost, I think we should really keep in mind that this issue is not about morality or morals. At the end of the day, we are talking here not about religion issues, but we are talking about life issues, and we are talking about how people deal with a very, very serious hunger crisis that we are dealing with in South Africa at the moment.
So the your wanting to smoke again is a health issue?
No, of course not. It is not a health issue. I'm talking, remember that all of these issues that we are talking about, the hunger, the lifting of the ban on cigarette smoking, they're all interrelated. It is very, very true that a lot of our community members hardly get three meals a day in the communities. I know, because I operate 32 feeding schemes in the community. We are lucky so far, with the help of all the sponsors, to be able to serve a breakfast, as well as a late afternoon lunch or early evening lunch, and that's about it.
Oh, it's very admirable, the community work that you do, and what I'm trying to get our listeners to understand is your community efforts to provide food, and how does that weigh up against, in terms of value to the community? How does smoking aid the community? Can you tell our listeners how you think smoking will help the community?
Well, maybe I should start from a point of experience. As a smoker myself, you know what? When the going gets tough, in times when there's no food, a smoker can actually, you know, get away without food by smoking a cigarette. And then I want to point you to the terrible withdrawal symptoms that a person that is suddenly forced to stop smoking without any medical help can go through. And I believe, you know, I've seen it, I experience every day how people literally take their sasa money to pay 20 rand and 30 rand for one cigarette. You see, this takes away the intended benefit of extra money that was now allocated to people who get SASSA. Because all of those extra money, plus the regular SASSA money that people get to try and make their life better in this very, very critical time, it goes straight to the people that are now really getting rich out of selling black market cigarettes. I've never seen so many strange names on the market before.
Do you have evidence? Can you provide the police with evidence of these people who are selling black market cigarettes?
Almost every second person sell them. I mean, I've got here in the community, I've seen about 20 different types of packets of cigarettes.
But that's illegal. You really should report them.
They are illegal, but I'm telling you, first and foremost, and really, what you know, what I'm prepared. The police can come and arrest me. I am not going to sell anybody out to sell illegal cigarettes, because at the end of the day, it all goes back to the situation of decisions being made up highly without consulting with the people on the ground. As if you are not making sure that your people are eating the most fundamental human rights, then they're going to have to at least rely on something that at least make them remain calm during this time of not knowing where the next meal is going to come from. By taking everything away, I think it's a human rights abuse. I am not your person who's going to sell anybody out who's selling cigarettes.
I accept completely your argument, and then we should consider all these arguments. Just please stay on the line. I just want to remind our listeners that we are this is Cape Talk, and you can get involved and call us at 021-446-0567. Send us a WhatsApp note at 072-567-1567. We have some messages. One person, Alex, says, Cyril, please grow. I'm not going to repeat complete that sentence, but he says, I'm so with this person. I'm just as furious, and I don't even smoke. So, and then there's the view from Ocean View where a listener says the same thing is happening. It's terrible. We have to pay 30 Rand for 3 smokes. That's Lorraine from Ocean View. And so smoking is considered to be a coping mechanism for many people. And, we have to understand that. Is that correct, Ms. Fredericks?
That's correct, yes. I mean, if you just look at this coronavirus situation is by no way dealt with. In fact, I believe strongly that if we continue like that, with this ban on cigarettes, we're going to go right back to level 5 very, very soon. Because you see what smokers are doing now. They are going all over the place. They are going into places that they would not normally go to just find their cigarette. So people, again, like with the hunger situation, they were putting food first, and now they're putting cigarettes first, because the government has made it impossible for them to at least, in the absence of something proper to eat, to at least cope by smoking a cigarette.
Ms. Fredericks, before we, I want to leave something with you, then we'll take a caller. If you have to prioritize things, what is more important, putting food on the table or having a smoke? So think about that for a second. Well, let's just take Ernie from Malmesbury.
Hi, good evening. Just in relation, I've only started listening now to the conversation, but something I've noticed, and the question that I would like to ask, and maybe Ms. Rodriguez can sort of follow that up, I hope I've got her name correct. Have you noticed how many of the policemen are smoking? And I would like to know where they get their cigarettes from, because obviously they're supposed to be enforcing the law. A lot of the guys are walking around smoking, and, to me, it is just totally wrong. I agree 100%. I'm not a smoker. I grew up in a family of a lot of smokers, and for that reason, I'm not a smoker. But I just feel that, the illegal route a lot of people are almost forced to go. Some people paying 100 Rand, 400 Rand for a packet of cigarettes, and it's just unacceptable, and I think the government needs to look at that. Allow the sale of cigarettes so that people can buy them at normal prices, and then a lot of people will be able to cope better, and a lot of people will have more money for food as well.
Ernie, thank you so much for that, for your contribution. Ms. Fredericks, do you want to respond to what Ernie has said?
Yes, certainly, and thank you very much, Ernie. The one thing that I can tell you, in communities, there's always lots of talk. One of the things that were mentioned to me is that the police people can smoke because they are using the very cigarettes that they take off tax of owners. And some of them hand them in and some of them don't hand them in. I've got stories of people telling me that the very cigarettes that they confiscate from shops, that they sell it back to the community at extra astronomical prices. So in terms of where this is going, this is making a whole lot of people criminals. Because at this point in time, as far as I understand the law, it is illegal to sell cigarettes, and it is therefore illegal for us smokers to smoke. So all of us at this point in time are criminals.
Ms. Fredericks, you said you raised the issue of the importance of the law, and you're clearly a law-abiding citizen. Yet you won't.
I'm trying to be.
Yet you won't. You won't report anyone who sells cigarettes illegally. For breaking the law?
In this instance, absolutely not. I'm telling you that we are dealing here with a coping mechanism that has been plucked from under people. People who would normally be able to give the food to their children because they can at least cope by smoking a cigarette are now left without a proper meal for themselves and their children, and they're also left without the coping mechanism. So I am not going to sell anybody out at this point. I know it sounds terrible. But if I need to weigh up the fact that somebody who's been smoking for 10, 20, 30 decades to somebody else making money off it is equally terrible. But at the end of the day, I know the devastation that withdrawal symptoms cause to a smoker. I've seen it. And I'm not going to be that person.
Ms. Fredericks, I want to return to one of our listeners who sent a message. But let me just make this point. I have what are known as underlying conditions, and I started smoking when I was 11 years old, and within 8 or 9 years, it was my chest was so bad I lost my left lung. So I understand completely the dangers of smoking. But so, one of the problems that we face and that the World Health Organization has expressed is this virus attacks the chest and the lungs. So now let's go to one of our readers, our listeners, who says that smokers require medical attention should they contract COVID-19. So do people with HIV, TB, diabetes, and many other illnesses. He says, I've been smoking for 50 years. Dear Minister, please provide me with the medical proof that me not smoking for 2 months will reduce the additional medical attention I might require so drastically that it is worth the billions we are losing in taxes. Stop with this personal crusade. So, Ms. Fredericks, the listener here refers to a personal crusade. You've made the point that it's a personal crusade. Can you explain when you say that somebody is benefiting from this?
Well, you see, if we look at where the smuggled cigarettes come from, they are not the cigarettes are not being made in the community. It is always coming from somewhere else. And the way things are in the community, there's always people talking. And there's always it's always people linking back to who the bosses are. At this point, I am not, like I said, I'm not going to sell the little man out. I'm also not at liberty to say who these big people are. But chances are, in fact, the chances are very, very high that some of the very political people that help make these decisions benefit by being shareholders in some of these illegal companies.
Yes, okay. We're going to just let me go to another listener who says that, Ismail, you missed the point. People are hooked and they need their fix. You are not a psychologist nor a counselor to tell or advise people to stop smoking. The government has benefited billions from selling cigarettes, knowing it's addictive. Now you take the sweet away from the baby. Think for a change. That's addressed to me, and I'm certainly not a psychologist or a counselor, but I do know that, it's not my view, but there are some dangers to smoking. Another listener says it's not that simple. Addiction is serious and needs treatment. You can't withdraw a previously legal addictive product and suddenly cease without withdrawal symptoms and mental states of mind. So, Ms. Fredericks, let me get back to the question that I put to you. If you were to prioritize, what is more important, putting food on the table for your family or buying cigarettes?
You know, the funny thing is that we shouldn't even have to make that choice. because I maintain that if this situation were handled better, we would never have reached a food crisis situation in this country.
Well, one of the what's...
And please allow me to say this.
Okay, go ahead.
We have to move from level 5 to level 4 for our economic reasons as well. But we are missing the boat completely. Because instead of the government getting money into their coffers, all of this money goes to illegal smugglers of cigarettes that clearly is not going to pay taxes on all of these this profit margins that they are making.
That's a very valid point there. And, you know, there is a lot of revenue being lost. So, Ms. Frederick, just hang on to the line. Let's take Hamid from Croydon.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening, Hamid.
Okay, I fully agree with the lady that's been giving some advice on not pimping on the guys that were selling, you know, if you're in the same boat. Anybody wants to judge this whole thing, you need to be on the ground to realize what's going on. What's going on? What you're asking the lady every time, what would you prefer, the food or the cigarette or whatever the case may be. It's very difficult when you are addicted to something. I mean, imagine they're charging 100 rand per packet, 130 rand a packet of cigarette, 20 rand for a cigarette. You can't blame the people. They're taking that money. They sometimes even do burglary to get some money to get some cigarette. So we need to weigh this thing properly, and especially those who haven't got. They are vulnerable to these things. Not the middleman, not the rich man, but those on the ground.
Right. Thank you very much, Hamid, for that. Ms. Fredericks, I want to thank you very much for very, very insightful. And, you know, one of our listeners sent a message saying, give that woman of bells and all the cigarettes she needs. She is wonderful. So on that note, Ms. Fredericks, thank you very much for your contribution. It's been rich and it's been exciting. And I hope you get your smoke.
Thank you very much for having me. And seriously, this is something that we need to really try and lobby the president for. Because you see what I am doing, and community leaders like me, we are trying at all costs to make sure that we get none of what we are struggling with at this point in time leads to unrest. Okay. I'm going to leave it there.
Thank you very much.